Now for some of the letters received at the evening news during the past week. Colin Burley from Toftwood gives thanks for some revived memories. Derek James's recent article on the American forces being stationed here during war was excellent and doubtless conjured up lots of memories for many. The photograph of people waving off a liberator, taking US airmen back home, was particularly poignant. My family became friendly with a US airman from the base at Wendling, and together with his friend, he would cycle to Dereham bringing chewing gum, chocolate bars and other goodies for the four younger children in our family. Oh, how we looked forward to those visits. We were mortified when time came for him to return to America. He promised he would return, something which I took with a large pinch of salt, but he kept his word and came back on three occasions, the last time bringing his parents with him. They were anxious to meet the family who had given their son a home from home. To return the hospitality we'd shown him, my mother was invited to spend a month's holiday on two occasions at his home in Iowa, where she was treated with a great deal of respect by everyone she met over there. Sadly, the whole Shufelt family have now all passed away, but keeping in touch with them over the years has been a great privilege. Thanks for reviving happy memories of the Yanks, Derek.
Pat Nearney from Munsley comments on the Windsor Castle banquet. As a proud Norfolk man, I was pleased to read that the farmer who supplied the organic Norfolk black chickens for the glittering state banquet for Donald Trump was so proud but didn't want to crow about it. I think he should, because sadly the chickens couldn't. Just a yoke.
A.M. Cordron comments on the proposed council mergers we have just heard about. A Rainerism waste of our money is in place and forthcoming. Reorganising local government will be hugely disruptive and costly at our expense. It is already diverting staff time, attention and resources. To what end? Nobody has yet explained how, by dissolving efficient, approachable district councils, some in credit, with notoriously cloth-eared and inefficient larger authorities, all starting with massive debt arrears, our money paying the interest, will suddenly improve the services to be provided for the money available. As far as can be ascertained by talking with elected councillors, the professional staff at all councils are heavily committed and often, e.g. planning departments, understaffed and struggling. Failing that, they are hiding in larger, impenetrable bureaucracies. Local councils continuously complain that funding for local government is unfair, and three of the largest debt holders are Norfolk, Norwich and Yarmouth, who claim to have been on continual money-saving efficiency exercises. So just where are these savings to come from? Just from a reduction in the number of elected councillors and their relatively small allowances? The cost, our money, of any large-scale reorganisation is massive, from the rebranding of the letterhead to the re-employment of the staff and the changing of offices, vehicles, contact areas, etc. One doubts that the business cases brought forward will withstand the first redeployment or changed council chambers. Who gets the debts? What happens to council taxes? And which services will be improved?
Lynn Hubbard from Down and Market gives her views on the right to buy council house scheme. As someone who did buy their former council house in 1997, I am not completely in agreement with Steve McKinder's viewpoint, RE the cheap bargain. Yes, we did get a 60% discount when I purchased our home with my parents, but we had lived there for over 30 years, during which time my father had paid rent on the property, which was obviously taken into account when we chose to take up the option to buy, which is why the houses were comparatively cheap. The main reason why we chose to buy at that time was due to the rumours, which later became reality, that the council would be handing the houses over into the control of a housing association. And their policy, so we believed, was that the right to remain there would only be passed down to the second person on the event of the first dying, which would mean once my parents died, I would have to be moved somewhere else. Having lived in my current home since the age of 9, none of us wanted this to happen. Had the houses been sold at market value, after paying rent for so long, it would have been, I feel, a trifle unfair. Though I can see that the loss of social housing is a problem that is not really being addressed by the numerous building of new homes with a small proviso of affordable houses as part of the stock. However, I will be selfish here and say I'm glad I did buy our house when I did, as I now have the security of a roof over my head in the home I have lived in for over 60 years. Now I am on my own.